Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather today here in this church and online, we pray that our faith and our hope are strong in the future that you have promised us through our readings today. May the words that I speak this morning be pleasing to you, and that those here that may be struggling with their faith or hope be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit and through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've made it into another new year of the church. We've arrived in Advent. Happy New Year. At a time of waiting, planning, anticipation, and preparing for Jesus' birth in a few short weeks, it's finally arrived. It took me a little bit by surprise, I have to be honest. I felt slightly overwhelmed as I sat down to write this sermon at this time, with all the things that we're waiting for in the wider world. I found that as I thought about those things, I recognize that we are doing the same. We're waiting, planning, anticipating, and preparing. Some of the events this week that I thought a lot about, we're hearing about the new South African variant, our synod for our diocese, the vaccines for children being released, the cleanup from the floods in British Columbia, and the list could go on and on. That's just a snapshot of the public events that immediately came to my mind. And then all of us here today, whether in person or online, come up with our own list of things in our own lives that we're waiting upon. With reflection, every day, there's so much that we wait on or prepare for. Those here who are parents may experience this also in a different way as they prepare not only for themselves, but also for their children. And in these times of waiting, we often show up differently due to our personalities. Some have patience. Some get frustrated, some have a mixture of both, some ask for advice on what is about to happen, and some keep it really close to themselves. With so much happening around us, sometimes more than ever, we need a snippet of quiet time to sit and reflect on what is about to happen and how we fit into what that narrative is. To illustrate what I mean, I can share a quick story. My son Callum and I are about to embark on a trip to Argentina next Sunday for his sailing. This trip was planned to be taken in March of 2020, and we made it as far as Miami, and then everything shut down, and we never made it to Argentina. So when we learned in late October that we would be given the chance now to go to Argentina for the delayed regatta, my planning and anticipation kicked into full gear. We have been planning for the last month with our team. However, on Friday, there was panic that came into our planning. We asked ourselves, is this trip even going to happen? We've seen things shift so quickly with COVID and borders closing that it scared us to think about what could be coming next for us all. We are the only family from the original team from 2020 going this time, and so our reaction was much different than the other families that are going. All that was expressed through our texts and conversations was that we'd hoped everything would be okay. We felt hope that COVID wouldn't shut down our trip. We had hope that our planning could withstand this new blip. But we also saw the personality differences show up in this moment of how different our life circumstances played into how we were reacting to the news coming our way. There was patience, there was anxiety, there was fear, and there was worry. Given our personal stories relating to COVID, we all may have had a reaction to Friday's news. Please know that we collectively hold hope that this new variant does not impact us in a very large way. Although my example pales in comparison to what Jesus is sharing with us in our gospel reading this morning, as he's talking to us about the end times, there are a mix of emotions that can emerge if we give it space in our minds. What Jesus is telling his disciples, and now us, his followers, in this passage starts before our reading today in verse 5 of the same chapter. Jesus is sharing about what will be coming, and what he shares is not easy. The words Jesus uses are not easy to hear. The events that Jesus is foretelling are anything but easy to think about. And Jesus is telling us that it won't be easy to still have faith with all that will be going around at the time of the end of days. But here's where our first Sunday of Advent comes into our view. Jesus is also giving us hope. He is giving us the way forward. He is telling us in verses 34 to 36 that we have a way around these very uneasy things. Stay vigilant. Stay alert. Stay prayerful. Jesus never told us as his followers that following him would be an easy task, acknowledging, however, that we here in Toronto have it very easy compared to those who are persecuted for their faith elsewhere in the world. Jesus tells us through his gospel reading that his words will never pass away. He is with us through every step of the difficulties we may face in our everyday, and also in times that we may be afraid. Afraid, like in the passage where people are fainting due to the fear that they're experiencing at this time. One of the questions that I had, maybe you did too, about this passage is that it seems that some of what Jesus was talking about seems to have already happened, like the nations going against nations, or the roaring of seas like in tsunamis or floods across the world. And there seem to have been some generations that have died since Jesus spoke these words. Another question given this, is how will we know when the end times are here and not just something else happening in the meantime? What Jesus is telling us is that he will come again. For this, we can be sure. And from these events, I feel like it will be pretty unmistakable. We will know that he is back. We won't miss it. Another couple of questions that get asked a lot when discussing the end times is, what has taken Jesus so long to come back? And what will need to happen for Jesus to come back when bad things have happened already for so long? We are clear that through our waiting and the waiting of the generations before us, we do not operate in the time we see on the clock. We are in God's time. His time is not like our time. And C.S. Lewis discusses time in Mere Christianity when he says, "Our life comes to us moment by moment. One moment disappears before the next comes along, and there is room for very little in each. That is what time is like. And of course, you and I tend to take it for granted that this time series, this arrangement of past, present, and future, is not simply the way that life comes to us, but the way all things really exist. We tend to assume that the whole universe and God himself are always moving on from past to future, just like we do. But many learned men do not agree with that. Almost certainly, God is not in time. His life does not consist of moments following one another. If you picture time as a straight line along which we have to travel, then you must picture God as the whole page on which the line is drawn. We come to the parts of the line one by one. We have to leave A behind before we go to B, and we can't reach C until we leave B behind. God, from above or outside or all around, contains the whole line and sees it all. What this quote tells us is that we are operating on two different time clocks, ours and his. He knows what will need to happen for the time to occur that Jesus needs to come down once again. Also amazingly, Jesus uses the parable in verses 29 to 31 that we will know when this is happening. He tells us that when the fig tree is sprouting, we know that summer is upon us, and we will know when it's time that he has come again. Jesus, as he always does, gives us the tools to make it through this waiting period, a much longer Advent than these few short weeks waiting for his birth. Jesus is telling us to be alert, not to be weighed down by other things like drunkenness or sensual pleasure. He also says in that sentence for our hearts not to be weighed down by the worries of this life. In my last sermon, in Thanksgiving, worry was also present in this conversation. And when I reflected on this passage, for me, the fact that Jesus mentions the worries of this life alongside drunkenness and dissipation was really something to take note of. Worrying is not something Jesus wants us to give any time towards, as we heard in the Thanksgiving sermon. He wants us to stay alert. And when we spend time worrying, we aren't alert. We are not preparing ourselves for what is about to come. This was a note to self moment. In the time of waiting, our Advent, not only for Jesus' birth, but for his return, he is helping us. We are not in this alone. Every day as we move through our earthly days, we are building capacity to wait and to be patient. To have patience and also to build our relationship with Jesus, and with that strong relationship, we will be alert to God's time, not necessarily our own. I pray that in our readings, which have all told us that what God has in store for his followers is something wonderful. In the Old Testament reading, we were being told about Jesus' coming. In the New Testament readings, we are told about Jesus coming again. So as we sit together this morning, Feel restored in the faith that you are loved so much by God that he has plans for each of us. There is no doubt that there is hope in our right now and also in our future. As we await for the celebration of Jesus' birth in the coming weeks, please take the space given to you to use the tools that Jesus provides to you to stay vigilant, stay alert, and stay prayerful. Take some silence in the time of busy to recognize and be thankful that there are amazing and awe-inspiring things that God has in store for us, his followers. Amen.